Hello, listeners. This is Iris, and we are beginning the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for today, Monday, April 1st. I'm your volunteer reader, Bob Young. Let's take the first look at the weather forecast today. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Cloudy with a high near 47. It'll be breezy with an east-northeast wind between 13 and 18 miles per hour, and we'll have gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. There's a chance of precipitation, and it's 70%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in the thunderstorms. Tonight, there'll be a 40% chance of showers, mainly before 1 a.m. It'll be cloudy with a low around 34 degrees. Breezy with a north-northeast wind from 13 to 17 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch are possible tonight. Tomorrow we have a 20% chance of showers. It'll be mostly sunny, with a high near 53 degrees. Breezy with a north-northeast wind from 13 to 18 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. And then tomorrow night, still carrying a 20% chance of showers before 1 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees and blustery. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 49 and windy. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 28 and windy. Thursday will be sunny with a high near 53. And Thursday night, mostly clear, with a low around 29 degrees. Next Friday is going to be a sunny day, with a high near 57 degrees, and in the evening, mostly clear, with a low around 32. Saturday, look for a sunny day, with high near 61 degrees, and breezy. Now we turn to the stories on the front page of the Courier. Absences plaguing Waterloo schools. District is combating a 38.5% rate of chronic absence. Angela Sturm McLaughlin wrote this story. The Board of Education held a work session Tuesday looking at the issue. It's one in a series of sessions the board is holding to delve into feedback received from staff and the community at six town hall meetings on the proposed merger of the district's high schools. About 15 people, including board members and district staff, attended the first work session. State data show 38.5% of Waterloo School students were chronically absent during 2022-23, missing 10% or more of school for any reason. The district was above the state average of 25.6%, as were all but two of the other Urban Education Network school districts, which includes the 10 largest in the state. Other UEN districts above the average ranged from 28% for Iowa City to 45.4% for Des Moines. It's a problem that's growing statewide. In 2017 and 18, the Waterloo schools had a chronic absenteeism rate of 21%, while the rate was 10.9% for public schools across Iowa. Sheena Kennedy, who is the Director of Student and At-Risk Services, and Adrienne Carlson, the Associate Director of Student Services, noted that the state data potentially include duplicate student counts and is almost always higher than Waterloo School's calculations. District data show the rate was 34.1% last year and has dropped to 30.3% during the 2023-24 so far. They've outlined how the district is building bridges when it comes to working with parents to ensure that students get to school. Quote, one of the best ways to tackle chronic absenteeism is enhance school culture, said Kennedy. We want to create an environment where kids want to be there. Kennedy and Carlson said food insecurity, poor transportation, and inequitable access to needed services can all be barriers to a quality education. They noted that a significant rise in homelessness for students has become an issue in the district. Waterloo Schools has been able to combat attendance issues by increasing the number of family support workers and student support specialists. Each building has attendance teams and team leaders who assist in ensuring students are there. They have also recently added social media campaigns, texting parents, and even community partnerships. What the session lacked in people certainly was made up in the passion of those who attended and spoke. Among those was Craig Mahood, a board member for the Job Foundation, which, quote, equips K-12 students and their families for economic advancement, according to its website. Quote, "You are on the right track. I commend you for what you are doing," said Mahood. "Go for it. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Because if you do not invest in these kids, then you will be paying for them in prison," unquote. The board will hold 2 additional sessions for the public to attend and voice any concerns. The topic will be academics and student achievement on April 23rd and barriers in transportation and athletics on May 28th. Both will take place from 5 o'clock to 6:30 p.m. The board members are set to vote on the proposed high school merger in July. For more information, go online to waterlooschools.org/bridging-futures. Grow Cedar Valley honors award winners at the 20th Anniversary Gala. The story was written by Angela Sturm McLaughlin, and the dateline is Waterloo. Grow Cedar Valley held its annual celebration Thursday night. The 20th anniversary of the Economic Development Group's award ceremony honoring local businesses. The event at the Waterloo Convention Center recognizes outstanding businesses and individuals who made exceptional contributions to the community in 2023. Thursday's gala also marked the passing of the baton at Grow Cedar Valley from Carrie Dara to new CEO Katie Susung. The evening featured plenty of highlights, including a remembrance of developer VGM co-founder and former Waterloo City Attorney Jim Walsh, and Camille Hogan, who, as CEO of Shorts Travel, turned it into a national business before an elaborate and heartfelt tribute to Dara's leadership of the organization. An emotional moment came when Randy Pilkington, Executive Director of Business and Community Services at the University of Northern Iowa, received the Cedar Valley Legacy Award. Pilkington has had a long career fostering new businesses and innovation, particularly through his role in the creation of the TechWorks campus, a regional hub for industry, academic collaborations, advanced manufacturing and research and development on a 30-acre brownfield site. It's also home to Hawkeye Community College's new $5.1 million Automation and Robotics Center, which was honored Thursday night with the John Deere Treating Capital Well Award. Quote, "I learned long ago that you are only as good as the people around you," Pilkington said. "You always hear people say, it is what it is. I am an eternal optimist, and I'm going to flip that, and I always say, it is what you make it. We have a great place here in the Cedar Valley. We can make it better. Every one of us can play a role," unquote. Bob Greenwood, owner of Greenwood Pharmacy, was honored as Cedar Valley Business Leader of the Year. He reflected on his journey from the tiny Dubuque County village of Farley, arriving in Waterloo in 1977, to open his Waterloo pharmacy after attending Creighton University in Omaha. He thanked all the people who had helped him on his way to a successful career that included 12 years on the Waterloo City Council and training dozens of future pharmacists through a partnership with the University of Iowa. Quote, "A turtle doesn't get on top of the fence post by himself," said Greenwood, a remark that left MC and KWWL Vice President and General Manager John Huff humorously perplexed. Greenwood thanked his family, friends, and co-workers. Quote, "It is humbling to stand here on the shoulders of the business owners that have gotten us here," unquote. Another stirring moment was the bestowal of the award for Cedar Valley Business of the Year, less than 50 employees, to All In Grocers, the first full-service grocery store in downtown Waterloo in nearly 50 years. Co-owners Rodney Anderson and Lance Dunn noted their long struggle to create the community hub at 221 Franklin Street. The 28,000-square-foot development also includes a restaurant, laundry, community center, after-school program, satellite office, and re-entry services. Quote, Cedar Valley, we love our community so much that we put in 7 years and millions of dollars to bring this to the community, Anderson said. Quote, the journey was well worth it. You have supported us and this community. Let's keep supporting All In Grocers. We're not a Fairway. We are not a Hy-Vee. We are All In, unquote. Thursday's ceremony was capped by the tributes to Dara. Iowa Economic Development Authority Director Debbie Durham announced to the crowd that Governor Kim Reynolds had declared March 28th Carry Dara Day in honor of the longtime economic development professional stepping down. Not to be undone, Waterloo Mayor Quentin Hart and Cedar Falls Mayor Denny Ludick read a similar proclamation thanking her for a lifetime of helping businesses thrive in the Cedar Valley. The night ended with a video tribute to Dara featuring everyone from KWWL anchor Ron Steele to Mike Malero, chairperson of the Grow Cedar Valley Board of Directors and CEO of VGM Group Incorporated, to both mayors and Dara's husband, former Cedar Falls council member Frank Dara. Dara seemed a bit taken aback by all the accolades. Quote, tonight isn't all about me, but apparently it's a lot more about me than I thought it was going to be, she said with a laugh. She reflected on her time with Grow Cedar Valley before the event. Quote, I have been honored to serve in this role for Grow Cedar Valley and this community, celebrating the 20th anniversary and welcoming the new CEO, Katie Susong, with 600 of our friends, has been very gratifying, unquote. The 2023 award winners are as follows. Bet Wabina Partner Award. North Star Community Services was honored with this award, acknowledging an education institution, nonprofit organization, service club, or human service agency that has promoted economic growth, employment, and quality of life. The Cedar Valley Economic Diversity and Inclusion Community Bank and Trust was recognized for outstanding leadership in fostering diversity and inclusion in workplace culture and business practices. The Cedar Valley Business of the Year Award, more than 50 employees, was awarded to Warren Transport. Cedar Valley Business of the Year Award for businesses less than 50 employees was given to All In Grocers. The John Deere Treating Capital Well Award was given to Hawkeye Community College Automation and Robotics Center. The Cedar Valley Innovation Award was given to Cubica Corporation Next Gen, and they were acknowledged as a private sector firm for innovation in technology, advanced manufacturing, or talent development. The Cedar Valley Business Leader of the Year Award was given to Bob Greenwood of Greenwood Pharmacy. And lastly, the Cedar Valley Legacy Award went to Randy Pilkington. Cedar Bend Humane Society, desperate for food donations to feed shelter dogs and cats. This story was filed by Melody Parker. Dateline Waterloo. Hungry dogs and cats at Cedar Bend Humane Society need to eat, but the cupboard is nearly bare. In the last 6 months, the shelter has struggled to feed the 300-plus animals in its care. Now the situation is becoming desperate. For the first time in 5 years, Cedar Bend is sponsoring a Spring into Action pet food drive now through April 5th. Quote, we've seen a decline in the last 1.5 years of regular food donations, and it's gotten worse in recent months, said Christy Gardner, CBHS Executive Director. And here we have a photograph of kennel attendant Mia Wheeler. She's walking down a long aisle of cages for dogs, and she's dipping dry dog food out of a 50-gallon barrel using a bowl. And there's a little puppy to her right looking hungrily through a clear plexiglass window. Continuing with the story, quote, "As a nonprofit organization, we're donation-based. The shelter runs on donations we receive and community support. I don't know if it's the economy having an impact, but we haven't received the food donations we usually receive," unquote. In previous years, the shelter has had abundant food donations, enough to provide food to shelters in neighboring communities. CBHS also operates the PAWS Pantry, which distributes pet food through the Northeast Iowa Food Bank for low-income pet owners. Now, PAWS Pantry is closed until at least May 1st. Quote, "That's sad for me because there's such a big need in our community," Gardner said. "If we can help people by providing food to feed their pet, it may help prevent some of the animals coming into the shelter." The shelter has bulged at the seams with stray, surrendered, abandoned, and injured pets in recent months. Last year, 3,566 animals were brought into the shelter. In addition, there are puppies and kittens to feed, as well as animals being held for court cases and some animals that require special diets. Housed in three buildings, the homeless pets are fed twice daily, in the morning and evening. Quote, "We feed about 50 pounds of dog food and 50 pounds of cat food a day in each of the three buildings. So 150 pounds a day each for dogs and cats is average," she explained. While CBHS has been forced to purchase food to help fill tummies of their furry residents, quote, "That takes away funds from other areas such as medical, spays and neuters, and other needs. We especially need cat food," unquote. And here we have a picture of a full-grown brown cat eating dry cat food out of a stainless steel bowl. The public is being asked to donate new, unopened bags of dry pet food for dogs and cats. Dry food with no dye is preferred, and donors are asked to check expiration dates. Quote, "We prefer unopened bags, but if someone has an open bag of dog food their pet didn't like, we'll take it," Gardner said. Drop-off locations are available at the CBHS Adoption Center from noon to 6 p.m. at 1166 West Airline Highway, Waterloo. Pet Supplies Plus at 713 Brandy Lynn Boulevard, Cedar Falls, and Hy-Vee Food Store, 1311 4th Street Southwest in Waverly. Online donations may be ordered through Cedar Bend's Amazon and Chewy wish lists. The shelter is also working with local retailers, grocery stores, pet stores, and big box stores to figure out ways to provide food for the animals. Quote, "We're making a push now, but we'll be accepting donations beyond April 5th. If someone doesn't want to go out and buy dry food to drop off, they can send Cedar Bend a donation earmarked for food," Gardner said. For more information on Cedar Bend, adoptable pets, and services, visit www.cedarbendhumane.org. And here, as an aside, we have a listing of the 10 most popular dog breeds in the United States for 2023. Number 1 is the French Bulldog. Number 2, Labrador Retrievers. Golden Retrievers are number 3. Number 4 is German Shepherds. 5, Poodles. 6, Dachshund. 7, Bulldogs. Beagles are number 8. And number 9 are Rottweilers. And finally, German Shorthaired Pointers come in at number 10. Maternity nurse sentenced for stealing pain meds from mothers. Story written by Jeff Reinitz. Dateline Waterloo. A former nurse has been sentenced to prison for allegedly stealing pain medicine intended for new mothers at a Waterloo hospital. Judge C.J. Williams sentenced Christina Eileen Olson, 43, to 1 year and 1 day behind bars during a hearing in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids on Wednesday. Following prison, Olson will be on supervised release. Sentencing guidelines had recommended around 2 years in prison, and in issuing the sentence, the judge granted a downward variance, according to court records. Olson pleaded to charges of obtaining a controlled substance by deception, adulteration with intent to defraud, and false statements in healthcare matters. In all, prosecutors allege Olson took medication from more than 50 patients. Olson had worked at the hospital for several years, and in January 2022, she allegedly began using opioid medications that were intended for women in labor and others who had recently given birth, according to court records. In March of 2022, Olson took hydromorphine and oxycodone that had been prescribed for a new mother who had just been through high-risk pregnancy, delivering through a C-section, record state. Olson also didn't attend to the mother and her newborn, as was her assignment, failing to bring bottles of formula for the child, despite the husband asking 3 times until the end of her shift, record state. When the next nurse came on duty, she held off administering pain medications to the mother for half an hour because medical records falsely showed Olson had given the mother medications, court records state. Around that time, Olson also took pain medications from another C-section patient who didn't speak fluent English, prompting that patient's husband to make repeated requests about pain she was experiencing, record state. The following day, after hospital officials became concerned and reassigned Olson's patients, another nurse found an open 250 milligram fentanyl vial in a third mother's room, record state. A test later determined the drug had been removed from the vial and replaced with saline, record state. Court records indicate hospital officials had other indications Olson was diverting medications before 2022, according to court records. In 2020, staff alerted Olson of an upcoming urine test after a review of hospital drug dispensing review found she had withdrawn narcotics without follow-up documentation that the drugs had been administered. Prior to the test, Olson allegedly used a catheter to remove urine from her bladder and the insert another person's urine into her bladder, court records state. In 2021, a report found the nurse was obtaining fentanyl 4 to 8 hours before the drugs were administered. There were also concerns she was hiding in a lactation room for an hour while she was supposed to be on shift, record state. The following year, there were concerns she was removing the largest fentanyl pills without orders and then claiming they were wasted or destroyed when she was actually using the pills, record state. In court records, Olson's defense attorney said her struggles with drugs began after she injured her neck when she ran into a tree while sledding with her children in 2014. Following surgeries, her doctor prescribed hydrocodone to treat the pain. She eventually developed a tolerance, and the doctor swapped it for oxycodone. Quote, "This case can fairly be traced back to the opioid crisis that was fueled by Purdue Pharma's insatiable greed when it relentlessly pushed its blockbuster drug, OxyContin," attorney Corey Goldensoff wrote in a sentencing memo. Use developed into addiction, which became fueled by her access to opioids through her employment, the attorney said in court records. She has since become involved in AA, obtained employment outside the medical field, and has been sober for 2 years, record state. Waterloo man arrested following early morning chase and crash. Story by Jeff Reinitz, Dateline Waterloo. A Waterloo man was arrested following an early morning chase that ended in a crash on Thursday. Officers attempted to stop a Buick with a missing license plate in the area of West Park Avenue and Washington Street at around 3:15 a.m. The vehicle didn't stop and turned onto Wellington Street and then onto U.S. Highway 63, driving down the wrong side of the road. It turned onto Commercial Street and crashed into the parking lot of the John Deere Museum on Westfield Avenue. Inside the vehicle, officers found a digital scale with methamphetamine residue and a hypodermic needle, according to court records. Officers arrested Eric Nolan Walker, 53, of 219 Lafayette Street, for felony eluding and possession of drug paraphernalia. Bond for Eric was set at $10,000. Man suffers gunshot wound. Waterloo. Police are investigating after a Waterloo man showed up at a hospital with a gunshot wound. The 19-year-old arrived by private vehicle at Unity Point Health Allen Hospital around 9:07 p.m. on Wednesday. The man had suffered a single bullet wound to his ankle area, according to police. The injury doesn't appear to be life-threatening, but he was transferred to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City for further treatment. Officers said the man was not cooperative with investigators, and it wasn't clear where the shooting happened or how it happened. One arrested for setting bed on fire, Waterloo. Police have arrested a Waterloo man after he allegedly set fire to a mattress inside a home Wednesday morning. Lionel Connett Crawford, 41, of 1016 Mulberry Street, was arrested for third-degree arson. Bond was set at $2,000. Firefighters were called to a home at 222 Sumner Street around 10:10 a.m. Wednesday and found burn holes in a mattress and carpet inside the home. Authorities allege Crawford was involved in an argument with a woman at the home and used a cigarette lighter to set the fires, according to court records. Illinois man sentenced for KKK graffiti. Story written by Jeff Reinitz. Waterloo. An Illinois man convicted of scrawling hate graffiti on a black teen's car in Waterloo in 2020 said he has been targeted because of the allegations. Quote, "Through this whole ordeal, I've lost quite a bit," Gary Eugene Shelton, 56, of Bloomington, told the court March 21st during a hearing in Black Hawk County District Court. Quote, "I lost my career over this. I live in a chicken shack because that's all I could get," he said. Shelton, who denies he was behind the graffiti, despite the fact a jury found him guilty of criminal mischief in violation of individual rights, said he continues to lose employment, has been assaulted, and is living separately from his wife for her protection. Quote, "We have lost our homes. She has been threatened at work," he said. Judge Andrea Dreyer was unfazed, calling the crime, quote, "flat-out repulsive," as she sentenced Sheldon to 5 years in prison, suspended to 2 to 5 years of probation. Quote, "I actually find it appropriate that the community would condemn such a crime," Dreyer said. She noted that in addition to the emotional toll, the teen wasn't in a financial situation to afford removing the letters KKK scrawled on her vehicle. She had to drive around with the damage on display until she eventually sold the car. Dreyer said Sheldon was free to have his personal beliefs, but he couldn't use his personal beliefs to harm others. Shelton will be able to transfer his probation to Illinois. The sentencing also extends a restraining order keeping him from contacting the victim for 5 years. The victim didn't attend the sentencing hearing. According to testimony in court, the teen had parked her Ford 500 at the Waterloo Baymont Inn on LaPorte Road in June 2020 to celebrate a friend's high school graduation. The incident coincided with racial justice protests following the death of George Floyd, and her vehicle had a Black Lives Matter message written in the back window. The morning the teen left the hotel, she found the letters KKK smeared on her passenger side door with an unknown waxy substance. Soapy water couldn't remove the letters, nor did buffing, according to testimony. The crime was investigated by Waterloo Police Department and the FBI. Shelton was traveling for work and stayed at the hotel in the time of the incident. Authorities said surveillance video from the hotel showed his work truck pulled up next to the Ford. The truck's passenger side door was open for a few minutes, shielding what was happening behind it, before the truck pulled away, police said. Shelton denied doing anything to the Ford when interviewed by investigators and claimed the vehicle also had anti-white and anti-law enforcement messages on it. During trial, the defense noted the hotel cameras were motion-activated and weren't rolling around the clock. And now, listeners, we'd just like to take a moment to remind you that you're listening to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Monday, April 1st, on IRIS, that's I-R-I-S, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and the Print Handicapped. Now, let's listen to this message.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Now we turn back to local news from the Courier. School Board approves $1 million computer purchase. Story written by Angela Sturm McLaughlin, and the dateline is Waterloo. The Board of Education on Monday approved buying more than $1 million worth of computers for students and staff. The purchase of 3,585 Chromebooks from Dell replaces aging Waterloo Community Schools devices. The board also received quotes for Acer brand Chromebooks from CDW-G at a cost that was about $31,000 higher. Matt O'Brien, Director of Technology, told the board that he was pleased with the pricing of both the Chromebooks and the carrying cases. Total costs for the technology purchase were $1.01 million. Incoming 6th and 9th graders across the district, along with all Expo Alternative Learning Center students, accounted for 2,445 Dell 3110 Chromebooks for $580,000 and Targus Work in Essentials carrying cases from CDW for $41,000. The computers were $240 per unit and the cases were $1,675 each. New Chromebooks are purchased every year for students starting middle and high school. Currently, Expo students use desktop computers running on a Chrome operating system. Discussions between the district's technology department, teaching and learning department, and Expo administration determined that it is best to shift the school to the same one-on-one Chromebook model that other middle and high schools use. Another 915 touchscreen-style Dell 3110 Chromebooks are for Poynter and Orange Elementary schools. The remaining 225 Dell 5430 2-in-1 Chromebooks are for staff at elementary schools. The elementary student computers cost $230,000 or $252 each, and the staff computer cost $152,000 or $672 each. All the elementary school computers are being purchased to replace devices at the end of their life cycle. Quote, once Chromebooks are turned in by seniors and used for 4 years, are they then trashed? Board member Lyle Schmidt asked. Quote, I would not say that they are trashed, O'Brien responded with a chuckle. Some of them are not in the best shape. What we typically do is go through all of those, and those that are still usable, we will use as spares, unquote. He added, devices that we are seeing purchased now, we're seeing a good 8 to 10 years of lifespan, unquote. In other business, the board did the following things. They heard a report on graduation dates for the class of 2025. Ceremonies will be at 6 p.m. on May 27, 2025, for Expo High School at the school, May 28, 2025, for West High School in the McLeod Center at the University of Northern Iowa, and on May 29, 2025, for East High School at the McLeod Center. The board also approved the resignation of Lincoln Elementary School Principal Tamara Cook and the retirement of Audrey Willikin Green from Kittrell Elementary School Principal. Both will be effective at the end of June. They approved the beginning of the process of requesting proposals to engage a firm in the construction manager at risk approach to overseeing construction of a new high school. The approach entails a commitment by the construction manager to complete the work at a guaranteed maximum price determined through construction documents and specifications, along with adjustments for additional reasonable tasks that come up. And lastly, they approved an easement for a public sidewalk with the City of Waterloo along Western Avenue as part of the Sloan Wallace Stadium Park project. Rhinebeck man breaks his silence at murder sentencing. Calvin Lee Halliday gets life in prison for beating death. This story was written by Jeff Reinitz. And we begin with a photograph of Kevin Lee Halliday as he enters the courtroom for sentencing on Wednesday. And he's in handcuffs and shackles and is wearing a white jumpsuit, and there are three sheriff's deputies guarding him. Dateline Grundy Center. A former Rhinebeck man convicted of beating his girlfriend to death in 2021 broke his silence as he was sentenced to life in prison on Wednesday. Quote, "This idea of me planning her death is nonsense," Kevin Lee Halliday, 42, told the court. Quote, "I really miss her, and I am sorry she's gone, and there's no way I wanted her to die. Don't sit there and kid yourself and think I killed her on purpose, because I didn't," unquote. Paramedics and deputies found Christian Chrissy Jays, 41, unconscious in her home on December 16, 2021, hours after her 13-year-old son stabbed Halliday during an argument. Jays never regained consciousness and died in the hospital about a week later of blunt trauma to the head. Halliday initially told investigators they had been talking after he was released from the hospital, and Jays merely got down on the floor for a nap and stopped breathing. On Wednesday, Halliday didn't offer a detailed account of what happened, only saying he didn't hit her multiple times. He added that she had climbed on the bed and ran across the bed to get away from him and fell. Quote, "The events of the night prior, getting stabbed, really led to a hellish situation. It's unfortunate," he said. Quote, "We actually had a pretty awesome relationship," said Halliday, who was also charged with assaulting Jays in May 2021, and went on to call her children from a prior relationship wild little animals, unquote. In handing down the sentence of life in prison without parole and $150,000 in restitution, Judge Joel Dalrymple noted Halliday's size in comparison to Jay's, combined with the knowledge of her frail health, was enough to back the jury's guilty verdict for first-degree murder. Quote, "You understand what a blow from you would do," the judge said, "and you understand what it's like to get stabbed five times and not be thinking clearly," Halliday responded. Quote, "You understand what multiple blows from an individual like you would do to her," the judge continued. Quote, "I never hit her multiple times," Halliday said. Quote, "From your version, you never hit her once," the judge said. "The fact a child would have to take a knife to you and stab you is simply reflective of what type of an individual you were in the context of that home," unquote. Jay's mother, Connie Hare, who lives in Florida and traveled to Iowa for the 2023 trial, attended Wednesday's hearing by phone. She submitted a statement that was read in court, saying she is still in disbelief over what happened and misses her daughter every day. Quote, "The world seems darker without her," Hare said. "The loss that we all feel without her is because the love we shared was so very real, and we all knew it. That is why the pain is so deep," unquote. She said Halliday was given the same gift of Jay's love, but destroyed it with every demeaning comment, argument, and every black eye, unquote. And now, let's read today's obituaries. In Independence, Robert G., known as Bob Shanka, 94, of Independence, Iowa, died on Friday, February 16th, at Prairie Hills Assisted Living Center in Independence, Iowa. Bob was born on December 30th, 1929, in Independence, Iowa, the son of Albert H. and Pauline C. Anderson Shanka. He attended St. John's Catholic School and worked for the Carl Nichols Chrysler dealership in Independence while in high school. Bob left school early to join the United States Army. Bob served during the occupation of Japan after World War II and learned everything about truck driving there. He returned to Independence after his time in the service and started working as a mechanic at Burkford Floored in Independence and drove a truck for Warren Collins Western Transport and later in life, Merchant Freight. On July 8, 1951, Bob married Marilyn E. Bradley at the Fairbank United Methodist Church. They made their home in Independence, Iowa, where they raised their four children. They had many adventures throughout their 70 years of marriage. They took many trips together throughout the United States and Canada. Bob retired from working as a mechanic and in 1983 went to work as a custodian and electrician at the Independence Community Schools. He took pride in the work of making the buildings nice for the students. A memorial service for Bob will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, March 30, 2024, at the Reif Family Center, funeral home and crematory in Independence, Iowa. Visitation will be held for 2 hours prior to the service on Saturday. To leave an online condolence, please go to www.reiffamilycenter.com under obituaries. In Waterloo, Wilma Rose Cook Riley, 84 of Waterloo, Iowa, died at St. Luke's Hospital on Friday, March 22, 2024. She was born on February 12, 1940, in Spillville, Iowa, to William John Riley and Anne Rose Mickdorf Bina. She went to St. Wenceslas Middle School in Spillville, Iowa, and Sacred Heart High School in Waterloo, Iowa. Wilma worked as a live-in nanny and then cashiering at Piggly Wiggly. Married Russell K. Birch on August 8, 1960, and had four children. As she was raising her family, she spent several years working at John Deere Tractor Works. On March 2, 1974, she married Ray E. Cook and had three more children, and of course, spent many countless hours watching the grandchildren she loved very much. Wilma enjoyed listening to old-time country music, watching mystery shows, and making the best kolaches and kubali anywhere. She was so very generous with her family and friends, helping whoever she could. Wilma will be missed by everyone who interacted with her. There will be a private family celebration of life at a date to be determined. In lieu of flowers, donations to National Center for Missing and Exploited Children would be appreciated at www.missingkids.org. Next is Rosemary Frost, 87, of Hiawatha, and she died Wednesday, March 20th, at the Old Dorf House Hospice of Mercy in Hiawatha after a courageous battle with cancer. A funeral mass for Rosemary will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 12th, 2024, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Friends may visit with the family beginning at 10 a.m. at the church. Burial to follow at 2 p.m. Sancta Maria Cemetery in Gilbertville. Tehan Funeral Home is caring for Rosemary and her family. Rosemary Margaret Sawyer was born on May 30, 1936, the daughter of Dallas Everett and Rose Josephine Wyland Sawyer in Waterloo. She was united into marriage with Gerald Frost on April 26, 1955. Rosemary loved the time she spent with her family and friends. Memorials may be directed to the Old Dorf House Hospice of Mercy in Rosemary's name. Online condolences can be left at www.tehanfuneralhome.com. Joyce Elaine Andorf, 88, of Dysart, died Tuesday, March 26, 2024, at Unity Point Allen Hospital in Waterloo. Joyce was born on February 17, 1936, in Garrison, to the late Christian and Marcella Berkey Grimm of Waterloo, Iowa. She married Leroy Andorf on December 30, 1956, in Dysart. They lived in Wheaton, Illinois, for 26 years before returning to Dysart to live when Leroy retired in 1990. Joyce and Leroy celebrated 38 years together before his death on May 29, 1995. Visitation for Joyce will be from 9 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. on Monday, April 1, 2024, at the Dahl Van Hoof Schoof Funeral Home. Interment will be at 12 o'clock p.m. at Zion Lutheran Cemetery, Hudson, beside her beloved husband. Memorials may be directed to the Dysart Ambulance Service at 424 Main Street in Dysart, Iowa, 52224. In Cedar Falls, Wilma Jean Dawson Stallman, 93, of Cedar Falls, died on March 24, 2024, at Deary Suites Western Home Community in Cedar Falls. Funeral services will be 11 o'clock a.m. on Friday, April 5, 2024, at the Richardson Funeral Service in Cedar Falls, with visitation 1 hour prior. A graveside service will follow at Harlington Cemetery in Waverly. Online condolences may be left at www.richardsonfuneralservice.com. Mary Sue Kern, 93, of Waverly, died on Wednesday, March 27th. A massive Christian burial will be held on Thursday, April 4th, 2024, at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary Catholic Church in Waverly. Burial will follow in St. Mary Catholic Cemetery in Waverly. Kaiser Corson Funeral Home of Waverly is assisting the Kern family with arrangements. Their phone number is area code 319-352-1187. Waterloo Library plans April events. This column was written by courier staff and lists the events that are upcoming at the Waterloo Library. From 6 to 7 p.m. on April 1st, the Master Gardeners from Iowa State University Extension and Outreach will discuss gardening in heat and drought. At 5:30 to 7 o'clock on April 3rd, Mike Finley will begin an 8-week seminar about investing. From 2 to 3 p.m. on April 4th, a forum will be held to discuss popular books, movies, and TV shows. From 4 to 5 p.m. on April 4th, teens can make seed bombs using colored paper and seeds indigenous to Iowa. Registration is required. From 5 to 6 p.m. on April 8th, the Well-Read Club will discuss A Woman Is No Man by Etif Rum. To participate, email Nolan at nrochford@waterloopubliclibrary.org at least one day before the event. From 6 to 7 p.m. on April 8th, Master Gardeners will discuss seasonal changes, colors, shapes, and sizes in the garden. From 10 to 11 a.m. on the 9th of April, a series will be held for seniors to learn new and innovative ways to help with aging. This month's topic is healthcare disparities in dementia with Dr. Elaine Eschbaugh. From 4 to 5 p.m. on April 10th, the library will host its Teen Manga Club. From 5:30 to 7 p.m. on April 10th, Mike Findlay will hold a seminar about investing portfolios. And from 2 to 3 p.m. on the 12th, the library and Young Arena invite children from 1st to 5th grade to a free ice skating event. There will be a craft and snack. Registration is required by April 11th, and there is a limit of 50 participants. Register at their website. Children must be accompanied at the event by a responsible adult. From 11 a.m. to noon on April 13th, the library will hold an opening weekend celebration for the Black Hawk Children's Theater production of The Hobbit. Kids can make their own Hobbit-themed journal, origami, and more. There will be Middle Earth-themed games, and those in attendance can have the chance to win a pair of tickets to the production. From 6 to 7 p.m. on April 15th, the Master Gardeners will hold an event discussing how to tell the difference between plants and weeds. That would be a good one for this reader. From 5:30 to 7 p.m. April 17th, Mike Findlay will continue his investment series with a topic on asset allocation. From 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. or 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on April 18th, a seed starting workshop will focus on growing cut flowers for your home garden. Participants will make Ziploc greenhouses and biodegradable seed starting pots that will be filled with zinnias, teddy bear sunflowers, globe amaranth, and cosmos. Registration is required. On April 22nd, from 2 to 4 p.m., there will be a nature-inspired poetry workshop. It will start at the library and then head to the River Loop to discuss guided writing exercises and finish with free writing time. Registration is required. On April 22nd, from 6 to 7 p.m., the Master Gardeners will talk about keeping bees and raising honey. On the 23rd of April, between 5 and 7:30 p.m., the library will host board game night. On the 24th, from 5:30 to 7, Mike Findlay will continue his series on asset allocation. From 5:30 to 7 on April 25th, the Altered Reality Book Club will discuss The House of the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. To participate, email Sarah at ssellers@waterloopubliclibrary.org. On April 27th, from 10:30 to 11 a.m., Maisie Mermaid will hold a story time with a mermaid-themed story. Kids can learn how to dance like a mermaid and color a coloring page. On the 29th of April, from 6 to 7 p.m., the Master Gardeners will discuss the Cedar Valley Monarch Zones project. Applicants sought for scholarships. This is the Metro Briefs column. Dateline Waterloo. Friends of the Art Center is now accepting applications for the Raymond Team Fosberg and Marilyn Ann Hurley Memorial Scholarships, both in the amount of $1,000. These scholarships are available to graduating seniors attending high school within a 35-mile radius of Waterloo who are planning to pursue a post-secondary degree in the visual arts, art education, graphic design, graphic communications, fine arts, photography, etc. A panel of art professionals will select scholarship winners based on students' application, essay, portfolio, transcript, SAT and ACT scores, and letters of recommendation. All application materials are due by 5 p.m. on April 26th. Two scholarship recipients will be notified and honored with a reception in May. Students may download an application online by going to waterloocenterforthearts.org/learn or request one by contacting the center at area code 319 291 4490. Turning the page, we find we're in the Week in Iowa section. And in the news, Governor Reynolds signs AEA reforms. Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds signed into law a bill overhauling the funding and operation of Iowa's area education agencies, notching a win on her top policy priority after 11 weeks of negotiation between House and Senate Republicans. Flanked by lawmakers and state education officials, Reynolds said the law would bring, quote, meaningful and necessary reform to the system. In addition to AEA changes, the law will increase state aid to K-12 schools by only 2.5% and raise the minimum teacher salary to $50,000 over 2 years. The special education funding that now goes to the AEAs will go to the school districts, who will need to continue using the AEAs for 90% of that money or send it into the school's general fund. It also gives schools control over their media and other education services, taking that funding out of the AEAs. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is sending another round of National Guard troops and state police officers to the U.S.-Mexico border to aid Texas's border enforcement efforts. 10 Iowa Department of Public Safety officers and troopers will deploy Sunday for 28 days. And now, listeners, that's going to do it for today's reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Monday, April 1st. I'm your volunteer reader, Bob Young. Remember, you can listen to a recording of this reading of the Courier or of the other newspapers around the state of Iowa that we read. Just visit our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. And we want to thank you for listening to Your Iris, Iowa's first and only radio reading service.